Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon. I hope everybody's having a great day. We are too, whether you're listening on The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan, or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
There we go. All right. We've got a lot that we need to unpack here as it pertains to the Portland Trailblazers, because we talked about the biggest news kind of brewing around Portland, which is the potential of Jeremy Grant and a Lakers trade that has been out there, and who knows what's going to happen there. Should be noted, you know when the last time the Blazers did a deal with the Lakers was? I think I saw this from Tom Haverstraw.
It's like 72?
It was 1980. Okay. And remember, we were sitting there when the Nets and the Knicks did it. We were like, "Oh my God, it was 1983.
Been a long time.
It's been longer." Mm-hmm. Anything that helps the Lakers, I'm out on. We know that. Hand up. Bias. Not a Laker guy. Do not like them. So I would not like to help the Los Angeles Lakers.
No, and that's why I think the Blazers, if they make that deal, are going to make sure they get every pound of flesh that comes along with that. And there is a standing relationship, though, because there are members of Clutch, Rich Paul's agency, LeBron's agency. Let's call it what it is.
Jeremy Grant.
Chauncey Billups. Yusuf Nurkic. There's been quite a few people who have come through that have been more recently Clutch-linked or represented members of the organization who have gotten deals, and that those relationships matter. I mean, Neil Olshey, it wasn't just because that he just liked those players. He basically signed everyone in free agency that was a Mark Bartlestein client because he has a relationship with that agent.
Yep.
And that those things happen across. Go take a look at everyone Detroit basically has brought in for years. They have some relationship to WME because Arne Tellem, the vice president, used to run WME. Like, it's...
Well,
people do not truly understand how integrated this stuff is.
Is Tobias Harris a WME client? Because he just signed a 2-year, $52 million deal with the Detroit Pistons, which they if you were wondering, heading into free agency, the 76ers had the most cap space, $61.3 million. They went and blew right through that with the Paul George signing. The Pistons, they have $51.1 million because everybody is ridiculously young, so they went out and got Tobias Harris, which that this man, he's getting the bag over and over
he's
again.
Got
good
a,
for him.
Not only that, he has a good reputation in Detroit, because that's where he kind of got his start.
Yeah.
So... yeah, that's that more than anything, because he's got an off, I shouldn't say off brand. He has a lesser known agent.
Okay, let's talk about some of the teams that maybe aren't connecting in free agency, haven't connected in free agency, or have missed on guys like Isaiah Hartenstein. It was reported, all right, it would be the Knicks, it could be the Orlando Magic, or the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Magic are sitting there with $49.5 million of cap space. What might it look like with the Orlando Magic, which it seems like for 4 or 5 years Portland and Orlando have been linked on making a deal that we just haven't seen come to fruition. They need a lot of help in a lot of spaces, but they need shooting. Mm-hmm. Is a major priority for them.
As active as things have been, I've not heard anything about Anthony Simons, either from the Blazer side of things or from the outside team side of things, mm-hmm. or from Anthony Simons' agency, BDA, Bill Duffy. So I think that they're looking at the landscape right now and trying to figure out what they want to do. That's where I think the Anthony Simons stuff is right now. I don't feel like there's anything. There's no ball moving.
No.
For anyone in that sense yet. Orlando, they went with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yep.
Does that close the door on Anthony Simons? No. Does that make things harder? I don't really think so. I think it's just different because it's not. You don't really worry about the cap space because they have plenty of it. Even after signing KCP, I think they have another $25 million, give or take. But there's this opportunity there still, because as it sits right now, their starting lineup would essentially be Jalen Suggs, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero, Wendell Carter Jr. And as good as that is,
so much length.
You're still missing what?
Shooters.
You're missing some shooting. Like it's a little like the Knicks, if they go small and they go Brunson, Hart, McHale, OG, Randall, or swap out Hart for DiVincenzo, whatever you want to have a shooting on the floor. You're still like, you're not a great shooting team.
Yeah.
Like you're a good shooting team, but you're not a great shooting team. And so it's like, all of these teams that have like these long, switchy, impactful defenders, the drawback for a lot of them is shooting. And it's the same thing. Like, this is why I think you saw Portland kind of pivot with Donovan Clingan and Denny Avdia. And we even had you on to talk about Denny. So we got to get to that at some point.
Yes, we do.
But both those guys are physical. Like, they're incredibly physical. And as much as Portland has been getting bigger, stronger, longer, more athletic, one of the things they kind of lost was some physicality. So you got a Serbian Israeli dude. That's, I mean, I don't think you could put two more Henri people together. I love them.
Is that where Meringue comes from?
Yes.
Henri not evil?
Yes, exactly.
Is that a Serbian Israeli?
Yes. That is an Henri group if I've ever, if you could take two cultures on this planet and be like, what's the Henriest like duo you could put together? Serbian Israeli would be super high on that list. And I say that in the most flattering manner. This is like, it's not a detriment at all. And then you get Klingon, who's an absolute monster who wants to kill people all the time. So I think you're seeing a big pivot from the organization on Portland side of things going down this path of like, okay, we want to be switchable and all those kind of things. But also the thing you give up by being switchable a lot of times is physicality.
Well, and look, Chauncey Billups. The style of play that suited him the best in his career was a very physical brand of basketball. And we were talking with Casey Holdall last Wednesday when we were at Ten Barrel, and it was how much do we feel like the way that officiating is changing is going to maybe skew the way that some of the teams are built, and the allowance of more physical style of play. You've got to have it now. And I appreciate that. I like that. Are there any other teams that have either struck deals or whiffed that you are looking at as saying, okay, this affects Portland positively or negatively in a trade market or in a player acquisition move, because there's some teams that have a lot of cap space that are looking to seemingly unload more. Utah, which they're at, what, 38.5 million dollars in cap space, but they're looking to unload one of their biggest contracts.
Well, no, yeah, that's the thing is there has been a slight pivot in that Lauri Markkanen could be available. A dark horse I've heard there is the Golden State Warriors, basically giving up everything that they have that's not nailed down for Lauri. Now, is that enough? I don't think so. I've talked to folks in Utah that say that half the league is checked in on Lauri. He's an incredibly sought after player. He's 25 years old, movement, doesn't need the ball, 7 foot, not a plus defender, but big enough and mobile enough to play multiple positions. Like,
and on a smoking deal, expiring.
You're going to have to pay him. If you trade for him, you're trading for the right to pay him, and you're going to pay him $40+ million a year. Mm-hmm. But also, I think he's probably worth it. So, he could be a guy that comes up on the market. The Lakers are getting hammered right now. They have come up with nothing. And Pelinka has walked away from the table so many times over the years. I think people in LA are getting tired of it. They have to be feeling real pressure right now. Does that change the impetus for the desire to move for a Jeremy Grant? I think it certainly puts pressure on him. I think if you're wondering what position they're in right now, I'm sure there's a barrel, and I'm sure he's over the top of it.
Yeah,
that's what it very much feels like with Pelinka right now.
Because they're one of the first apron teams that can't use a trade exception as part of a deal, right? With under the new CBA,
you can't use
trade exceptions generated from the previous seasons that roll over.
But LeBron opted out, so they
may be safe.
Yeah, I think if the DeMar DeRozan has been rumored as a, I think Chris Haynes actually just said something about it. The it'll either be into an exception kind of a deal, or as the MLE, or as part of a sign and trade with the Bulls.
Okay,
so does that mean LeBron ends up taking a pay cut? That's dicey. I don't know if that's necessarily the case in that vein, particularly if it's just a 1-year deal. If you're LeBron, like, why the hell would I do that there? Before Josh Green got moved in the Klay Thompson deal to Charlotte, I had heard that the Dallas Mavericks were kicking around Matisse Thybulle. Obviously, they offered him the restricted free agency deal last year on July 6th that the Blazers turned around and matched. He's available to be traded as of July 6th.
I was going to say, yeah, when does that, because you it's the match it. Date,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so July 6th, and then...
You could agree to it in principle, then wait until the 6th, and then consummate the deal.
Next Monday, when league offices open up again, they'd go, boom.
And that's when, for those that are wondering, that's when the deals for the second round picks and Denny Avdia will be made official. Because of how they're structured and what they mean to certain teams, they need to float over into the next league year.
All right.
CBA, yay!
All right. Well, it's been busy, but also kind of dead as it pertains to the hometown team, and that's to be expected.
It's going to be. I'm cautiously optimistic that there's going to be some movement.
We have a ton of more NBA stuff that we got to get to, and we will over the course of the show. Because, look, as you said, we haven't had the chance, you and I, to talk about Donovan Clingan, Denny Avdia. We have audio from the Donovan Clingan press conference. He was introduced over the weekend.
He was.
Seemed a little nervous. He seemed a little nervous.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. He seemed a little nervous, but I like the makeup of him a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a good one. Yeah, I think he's going to kind of fit the direction that they want to go to as well. But we'll discuss that coming up later. But today is a day we cannot ignore. It's quite the day.
It is. It's a very important day in sports history.
You ain't lying. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Very important day in our world of sports here. As we take a break from the NBA free agency, happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
To all who celebrate.
Yeah, which is mainly Bobby Bonilla.
Definitely not the Mets.
But every July 1st from 2011 through 2035, the New York Mets will pay Bobby Bo $1,193,248.20 as part of a buyout deal. They still owe him $11.9 million.
It's always better to get the lump sum payout, but this is what it looks like if you win the lottery and you take the yearly.
Boy, isn't it?
this is exactly that. Man. You always want the lump sum, you just deal with it, and then you have more money to work with. But with this, you know what you can never do? Go broke.
Yeah, you ain't gonna go broke.
Yeah, see, if I took that lump sum, I'd wind up like an NFL wide receiver
right?
broke in 3 years.
All right. I'd like to see it play out, though.
I'd have a hell of a time doing it.
You would. You know, Bobby Bonilla isn't the only one that is celebrating today. Do you know other players? There are three other players that are getting paid deferred payments on July 1. Do you know who they are? In professional baseball alone. Three of them.
Go on.
All three of them, very well-known names. Today is the last day that Ken Griffey Jr. gets $3.59 million from the Cincinnati Reds to go away.
Okay.
Manny Ramirez is getting $1.96 million from the Boston Red Sox.
Still?
Yeah, yeah. And then the Washington Nationals are paying that double-dipping SOB, Max Scherzer, $15 million today.
That's a good one.
It's a great day. All four of those guys, congratulations.
That's got to be a nice little deposit to pop up in the old checking account,
congratulations.
Huh?
Congratulations. And my favorite part of Bobby Bo Day is the fact that Bernie Madoff is the guy responsible for it.
Yeah, there you go. You got a pyramid scheme
still
for somebody.
Screwing people over.
Like, of all of the people to be, like, it's like, oh, if you're like, just think of like the worst person that could be connected to the Mets. You'd be like, oh, Jeffrey Epstein? No, close.
No.
Bernie Madoff.
Earl Strawberry?
Who
no.
just absolutely defrauded thousands of people, but
took all of their inheritance. But hey, Bobby Bonilla.
Bobby Bo's like the one guy who's like, not that bad.
You suppose Bonilla sends him a card every year on this date?
No, he's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You remember that?
No.
Yeah.
Well, rotten hell.
There you go.
Not a great dude.
Huh, no. Babe.
Not a great dude.
Do you know what yesterday was?
No.
It's another important
June 30th.
Day. It was another important day for the Portland Trailblazers.
What?
They are now free of Andrew Nicholson's dead money.
You're kidding!
It's done.
That was an all-time stretch, too.
Goodness gracious. 7 years later.
Boy, I forgot about him.
The only dead money they have left now is Eric Bledsoe and Didi Luzada, which combined is still less than Andrew Nicholson's.
Yeah. Anderson Varejao's was a big one for a lot of years, too. That was like 2 years ago.
4 or 5 years ago, I think.
Was it really?
Yeah.
God, the Blazers were paying a lot of guys not to play basketball here for a run.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Yeah.
No, like ever, ever.
Like ever for them.
That was
Festus Ezeli.
That was for the, to get off the Alan Crabb deal. That's what the Andrew Nicholson money was for. Gross as that is.
But you know what?
Still worth it.
Yeah, you're going to take that one because like it was matching Brooklyn's offer there being like, yeah, and okay, you can have him back.
Let him go.
Probably
him
worked go. Out for the best.
Yeah.
Probably worked out for the best. Does anybody know, has anybody heard from Bobby Bonilla though? Is my thing. Like all we hear about is like celebrating Bobby Bonilla Day. What's Bobby Bo up to?
I hope it's like,
living on a beach?
I would say living on an island.
Yeah, just knowing
that. Or having your own island.
Knowing that you get $11.9 million more coming your way because the New York Mets were that bad at business.
Just get all fat and sassy.
I would. Mm. I'd get all fat and sassy, too. But, well, what do you think I'd do? Be like,
isn't that what one does when you have millions of dollars guaranteed for 20 years?
Just
when you got $1.2 million coming in every year for nothing?
We missed it, guys. We should have been in.
I should have been a baseball player.
Professional sports. You know?
Baseball's got that good money, man. It's crazy and it's guaranteed.
Yeah. Golly. Bobby Bo.
At some point in time.
God bless you.
We talked about the apron a little bit. We'll have to talk about today the implications of the apron serving as essentially a hard cap now in basketball.
What?
Basketball? Apron? It's basically serving as a hard cap.
Where did that come from?
I said, again, talking about money and how we've talked about the different transactions that have taken place. That's where I was coming back to. We're talking about the transactions and how in baseball having guaranteed money.
Yeah, guaranteed money's great.
Yeah.
Guaranteed is awesome. This is a great text. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. I hope he puts the check on the Mets finishing in last place.
Wow.
He could be even more rich. Like, what if that's what Bobby Bonilla does?
That's a real pyramid scheme right now. Taking the money the Mets owe you and then putting on the Mets to be the worst.
I mean, it's not working out for him right now. But look, there's a lot of baseball left. There's 10 games out of last place in the NL East. I don't think they're catching the Miami Marlins, though. Miami Marlins are absolutely atrocious, unless I bet on them to lose. And then they get really good for one night, apparently. But other than that, they've been god awful. Mm. I think they're 30-54 right now. I think like at least 20 of them are when I got juice on them to lose a baseball game.
Yeah, you
got to
start going with the Costanza theory.
Yeah,
just do the opposite of what you think.
I kid. But they are really bad.
They are.
They are just atrocious.
Poor Sook.
I was talking the Marlins. The Mets are hovering right around 500. But everybody's arm's going to fall off again, and, you know, but the Phillies and the Braves are just going to run away with that division.
Yeah, we're almost at that point where it's full-on baseball time.
Yeah. Yeah. They're already talking home run derby.
I would say they're changing the rules.
Again.
Yeah. I didn't even look at them because I was like, oh, God, what now?
Oh, I did. So, you know how guys were just, because they were on a timer, mm-hmm. they were just hacking away, just swinging as many times as they could. They were saying that players were averaging 43 swings per round.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And guys were like starting to say, I think somebody's going to get hurt doing this.
Yeah.
So what they're doing now is they're going to limit, it's more about the contact you make as opposed to the amount of swings that you take.
What, we measure an exit velocity now?
No, they're just, so you know how you got bonus time at the end?
Mm-hmm.
The bonus time is 3 outs now. It's not an extra minute on your 3 minutes.
Gotcha.
Because what guys were doing is they were just getting as many hacks in at the end. And what the 3 outs will allow you to do is it doesn't matter how many homers you're down. If you get to the bonus time, which is by hitting a 425-foot home run,
mm-hmm.
you get to that bonus time. And then once you get there, it's you could hit 50 home runs in that span. But
you
get 3 outs to do it, and you take your time.
Can we just go back to the old way of just doing the 10 outs?
Well, you would think.
I mean, do we really have to overthink this that much?
No, you don't. Because
Well, they don't want the Josh Hamilton to happen either.
Yeah.
Where they hit like 37 home runs in the first round, and then they're gassed the rest of the show. But that's the whole thing. Is like, guess what I remember? I remember Josh Hamilton absolutely raking for a round.
But that's when you have the pitcher go, okay, man, we're at 25. I think you're good.
Yeah.
Right?
And then if he doesn't do it, you bean him.
Hit him with the 40-mile-an-hour
beanball. I'm sending a message, Josh. Yeah.
Right on the hand.
Yeah. Just knock it off. You know? You start throwing pitches you know he can't hit out. Like, you get that heat map, and then you go only to the cold zones, and you're just like,
that time is
where I'm pitching you. I'm done with this. That, I think, in a little bit of awareness by the person hitting, that might be the way to go about it. So, happy Bobby Bo Day to everybody that celebrates. It's one of the greatest grifts in sports, and I'm really happy for him. I can't wait till 2035 when they do an interview with him. And somebody needs to sit down and go through with Bobby Bonilla where he put that, like, all of this money over 20 years.
It'll just be like that meme with the big fella laying back on the bed of cash.
I hope it is. If he's just like, yeah, I blew it all.
Yeah.
Like, it was free money for 20 years.
Cocaine costs a lot. How do you think I got so skinny?
Like, all right. Well, good for you, man.
Especially in New York.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where he lives now.
No, I'm saying the cocaine in New York. It's probably pretty expensive.
Oh. Probably.
I mean, just geographically, it's a difficult distribution center.
Dude, everything in New York was expensive.
When I was there.
Like, literally.
You get the New York markup. Taxes are crazy.
Yeah.
Packaging it from all the way from Florida all the way up.
$12 for a beer.
It's like Bobby Bo's living in Florida.
Good for him.
Well,
so he's not paying New York income tax. He's paying he's paying no Florida income tax.
Also, cocaine, a lot cheaper in Florida. Wholesale.
Okay. All right.
No.
Little Tony Montana yayo.
I'm just saying.
I'm looking up what he's doing now.
Oh, I thought you were saying you're going to look up the price of cocaine.
No, he got divorced in 2009.
Do you think they have that online?
What?
The price of cocaine.
I don't know.
Maybe on the dark web, but you're familiar with that, Danny.
I don't know what happened to you this segment.
There's a chart here. The street price of a gram of cocaine.
Okay.
They have, like, actual tracking.
All right.
This is incredible. Across nations, even.
Oh.
Bolivia, cheapest place you can get it.
Okay.
So, UAE, very expensive, $286 a gram.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I would have seen that coming.
Mm.
Saudi Arabia, number two. Australia, number three.
Yeah, and the UAE, they're cutting it with gold flakes.
Yeah.
That's their Goldschlager.
Well, and you'll get murdered.
Here's an upset. Third least expensive, Portugal.
Is that an upset?
I mean, you think about it. Cocaine, South America, Europe, that's a long travel. Like,
oh,
you know?
Okay.
Look, if you're going to sit inside that little tiny submarine, that's a long trip.
Maybe easy ports to get it in and out of there.
Nah.
Yeah. I'm looking at Bobby Bo. So these payments started in 2009 or 2011. Do you think he intentionally got divorced in 2009?
Or knowing what was coming.
Yeah, do you think that she's getting the hefty chunk? Is Bobby Bo only getting $500,000 of his $1 million payments?
Nah, because he gets divorced early. That way the alimony is set.
I'm sure he had to have some sort of a prenup there, too.
But I bet she was like,
smart man.
She's like, I know what's coming in 2 years. He's like, what? I have no idea.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. For Bobby J. Bonilla. I'm Bobby L. Bonilla.
Yeah. He also... he donates a lot of money to schools, apparently. Bobby Bo.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Good guy.
That was a question. I don't know.
Oh, I gotta show you a terrible thing before we get to the worst day on the web. This could have been a worst day on the web.
Okay.
There was a political slush fund that was being run through a bodega in Oakland worth millions of dollars. So if you're talking about giving money back to things. Yeah. I'll show you that story in the break. It's
cool. So politics seem to be on the up and up still.
Yeah, see, that's why Bobby Bo moved to Florida. That's easier to run your money through a pack there.
Sure.
Coming up on our worst day on the web, more transactions. You wouldn't believe how many times a potential record-setting quarterback has made a transaction through the NFL. But first, here's Big Kahuna with a Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Look, if you're going to be a professional athlete, it's good to have something you can hang your hat on. You don't want to be somebody that just comes and goes. You want to be the answer to a trivia question.
Yeah, all right.
Don't you?
Yes, you do.
Like, if you're not going to play, if you're not going to be some, like, all-time great, wouldn't you rather be the answer to a trivia question that isn't you stole money like Jamarcus Russell?
Oh, yeah, dude, that was something that happened over this weekend. $74,000 that Jamarcus Russell got.
Stole from a high school?
For a high school as a donation.
Yeah.
Pocketed it. Uh-oh.
And the insane thing is, that isn't the most money he's stolen. Not by a large amount. He stole $60 million from the Raiders.
No, they willingly gave that
to
him.
Yeah, he stole it.
They willingly gave that to him.
Stole it.
No, you're talking like you want to be like the real-life Archibald Graham. Moonlight Graham. Remember him from Field of Dreams?
Mm.
He was an actual baseball player. And in 1905, for the New York Giants, he played in one game. But he only played in a half of an inning where he played out in the outfield and he got no balls hit to him. Mm-hmm. He never touched a baseball and he never got an at bat because he only played half of the inning defensively. That was his only appearance in Major League Baseball.
It's incredible.
That might be like doing the absolute least and still being like professional athlete.
Been there, done that.
And the real Moonlight Graham, it wasn't because he crossed the rocks when the girl was choking on a hot dog and fell off the bleachers.
Mm.
No, it was just, that was his chance. Never played again. That's crazy.
That's what also when you understand how many people have played baseball professionally. Yeah. Like, the odds are bound that somebody has something like that. And we have that really on the NFL side as well.
Yeah, I mean, but that is like, that's just
the absolute.
Like, at least let me strike out.
Right? Or catch a pop fly or, you know, touch a ball. Just something.
Yeah, we may have the NFL equivalent, though.
You do. I think so. Tyler Bray, he is up for the most transactions in NFL history.
Go Vols, former Tennessee quarterback.
He's currently one away of T.Y. McGill's 114 transactions.
T.Y. McGill?
Mm-hmm.
They did make a note in that article that the very first listed transaction for T.Y. McGill was a different player. So he is actually at 113.
Oh, so they're both at 113. So yes. They are tied. Right. So the next transaction allows Tyler Bray to be the most transacted player of all time. If you're wondering, what's a transaction? It's not just a trade. It's not just signing. Mm-hmm. It's not being released. It's being activated. It's being reactivated or deactivated. It's been put on the practice squad. There are certain things in the NFL that require a league-sanctioned transaction to take place.
Okay, so now, Tyler Bray has not had an accomplished career in the NFL. I don't even know. I cannot even tell you. I know that he played for the Bears, and that's about it. Yes. Like, I think he may have even started a game for the Bears.
He has stats with two teams.
Okay.
The Bears are team number two.
Okay.
And the Kansas City Chiefs
are the other one.
Yes.
Okay. So that would be mop-up duty in Kansas City, and then probably starting role in Chicago.
And his stats with the Kansas City Chiefs go as follows.
Okay.
Zero pass completions.
Oh.
One rushing attempt. Zero rush yards. One rushing fumble. One rushing fumble lost. One rushing fumble lost and returned for a defensive touchdown.
And passing for his career, he is 1 for 6 for 18 yards.
In the career?
Yeah.
Look.
High average, though.
This dude, this is why being a backup quarterback is the best job in all of sports. Move over bullpen catcher, because backup quarterback,
Blaine Gabbert,
you're still making more. Bullpen catchers aren't actually on the roster.
No. They're just like paid a salary. You're literally like a volunteer that gets paid to just chill in the bullpen.
You're a pack mule.
Yeah.
Who you got to carry a lot of stuff around. You warm up pitchers. Great gig. Don't get me wrong. But you're still getting paid practice squad and active roster money for Tyler Bray getting bumped up and down as much as he was. You're still making a pretty penny there. A
couple hundred thousand dollars.
And there is zero pressure.
Not getting hit.
Being the backup quarterback. And people at some point will be like, hey, let's see what this kid has to offer, you know, when things are getting sideways. And the bar is very low. 1 for 8 for 18 yards. And your lone rushing attempt was a fumble return for a touchdown by the other team?
That's 1 for 6.
That's not that bad.
Yeah. He has appeared in 2 games total his entire career, one in 2017 for the Chiefs and one in 2020 for the Chicago Bears, with a lifetime, with a career of 9 snaps.
Dang. 9 snaps in 113 transactions.
So that means that one game that he played in Chicago, he was in there for 5 snaps, and they attempted a pass on each one of those 5 snaps.
I'll tell you what. Tyler Bray, in my opinion, some people may say, not a successful career. I think
it's incredibly
successful.
This
is a wildly successful career. The guy has been in the NFL since 2017. And it's 2024.
He's played 9 snaps.
This dude has gotten, actually not like the bag. He's not like Tobias Harris getting paid $26 million a year. But what he's getting is he's getting a comfortable living that Tyler Bray's making here, just bouncing around the NFL, probably smart as hell, which is why people want to keep him around. And a guy who's a good locker room guy. So, you know, he's cool to hang out with. I'm all in on Tyler Bray. I want more of Tyler Bray's career, actually, because this dude, it doesn't take a whole heck of a lot. And in Kansas City, did he get a Super Bowl in Kansas City?
That was 2017, the 2017 season?
No.
I don't think so.
No. So he doesn't have a ring yet. But maybe he was
on the practice squad?
Well, you would, but maybe he was bouncing around and wasn't on the active roster, but he still probably got a Super Bowl ring out of being in Kansas City. Good for Tyler Bray. I think this is a worst day because Tyler Bray just woke up this morning and looked and was like, whoa,
catching strays.
I think it's a great day because you're still around. People are still talking about you, my dude.
Somebody did a great visual of all of like the transaction logs of NFL players with at least 10 career transactions. And it's a bar graph that just kind of goes down and slides down. And then there's like this giant gap at 75. And then there's like 10 total players ever. And then there's like this little blip at 113. It's like, that's me. It's Tyler Bray.
Just down here.
Yeah. That's when you show off to people. You want to see what I did?
Yeah.
This is me right here. This little blip.
God bless it.
That little guy right there. Don't worry about that little guy.
So, he is nowhere to be found right now. Does he have a team?
It looks like he hasn't been on a team since 2020.
Yeah, 2021. 2021. It would be the San Francisco 49ers. I think somebody needs to just sign him, cut him.
Career earnings of $4.9
million. Dude, it's great to be Tyler Bray.
Yeah. So $4.9 million divided by 6 snaps.
Dude, over Chase Daniels. There's a new guy.
No. Nobody surpasses Chase Daniels' greatness.
I don't know. It's 9 total snaps, 6 attempts. Yeah. So 9 total snaps. I think he may pass.
No, Chase. Ooh. Chase has been very upfront.
Okay,
about
let's guess
how
the career earnings of Chase Daniel.
It's insane. Chase Daniel is at like,
I want to say like 25, 30.
Yeah, I was going to say 23 million. No, higher or lower?
Higher. 40? 41.8 million.
Dude, yeah, that's insane.
How many snaps is he?
Chase is no
14-year career with 7 different teams.
Chase is a god of getting the bag.
God, that's so good for him.
Tobias Harris is jealous.
Yeah, Tobias Harris is jealous of that. And he's played in 74 he played in 74 games though.
Yeah.
But
also like he was doing it right.
Yeah, he was. See, backup quarterback. Great place to be.
He said something about being at Missouri. I think somebody tweeted a picture of they were about to have their Chase Daniel summer, and it was him at Missouri being kind of round faced, and he's like, "Oh, you mean go out and damn near win a Heisman while housing a whole pizza and a case of beer every night? Good luck on that, bud.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, So basically somebody tried to dunk on him. He was like, yeah, you go ahead and tell me you can do all these things while also living your best life. You can't.
You can't do that.
You can't.
There's no way. There's no way that you could possibly beat that.
Contrary to popular belief, this is the peak male athlete right here.
You're damn right it is. All right. So, I'm looking at Chase Daniel. He attempted in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
273
passes. He attempted 273.
Obviously, the dollar per pass ratio is going to side with Bray, but
I think, yeah, see,
but the scaling of Daniel, though,
68.1% completion percentage.
Not too bad.
Oh, he's a solid backup quarterback.
9 touchdowns, 7 picks.
And your quarterback, like Chick's dig quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like if Chase Daniel,
and he was never a threat of being
smoking hot like supermodel.
Oh yeah, and he's never a threat to be the actual starter.
And it looks like about 570 more career snaps than Tyler Bray.
570?
579 total.
It's good to be both those guys. Again, we should have been professional athletes, guys.
Yeah, boy, did I miss my calling.
You sure did.
Why didn't I listen?
I think you would have been a great quarterback.
Yes,
Rust.
Third string.
Yeah. Coach would have put me in. We went on the state.
Yeah. But I can throw his ball over the mountains over there.
It's a good place to be. All right, coming up next, you were gone when the Portland Trail Blazers just made the surprise transactional trade. You were golfing for Denny Avdia. We'll talk about that and more coming up here next year on Danny and Dusty, Denny the Fan. Well, last week the Portland Trail Blazers were busy. I've seen some people say, oh, the Blazers are having a quiet offseason. I don't know, man. Trading for Denny Avdia when nobody saw that coming and drafting Donovan Clingan, somebody who most people had as like either the best or second best player on the draft, I'd say that's pretty active. What's been your general takeaway of that transaction period for the Blazers?
Yeah, it was like right when we got off the air, right? There was starting to be a little bit of rumblings about the Portland Trail Blazers in the first round got going, and it was the Denny Avdia trade came through for the 14th pick and then a future first. There was a lot of negative reaction from fans, and it's always interesting to see the fan reaction as opposed to the reaction of people that either cover the NBA or cover a team specifically. And the fan reaction was, oh my God, who the hell is this? Why are you giving up 2 first round picks for it? And there was a lot of correlation being made to, so this is the Dame trade.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
a professional athlete, it's good to have something you can hang your hat on. You don't want to be somebody that just comes and goes.
You want
to be the answer to a trivia question.
Yeah, all right.
Don't you?
Yes, you do.
Like, if you're not going to play, if you're not going to be some, like, all-time great, wouldn't you rather be the answer to a trivia question that isn't you stole money like Jamarcus Russell?
Oh, yeah, dude, that was something that happened over this weekend. $74,000 that Jamarcus Russell got.
Stole from a high school?
For a high school as a donation.
Yeah.
Pocketed it. Uh-oh.
And the insane thing is, that isn't the most money he's stolen. Not by a large amount. He stole $60 million from the Raiders.
No, they willingly gave that
to
him.
Yeah, he stole it.
They willingly gave that to him.
Stole it.
No, you're talking like you want to be like the real-life Archibald Graham. Moonlight Graham. Remember him from Field of Dreams?
Mm.
He was an actual baseball player. And in 1905, for the New York Giants, he played in one game. But he only played in a half of an inning where he played out in the outfield, and he got no balls hit to him. Mm-hmm. He never touched a baseball, and he never got an at-bat because he only played half of the inning defensively. That was his only appearance in Major League Baseball.
It's incredible.
That might be like doing the absolute least and still being like professional athlete.
Been there, done that.
And the real Moonlight Graham, it wasn't because he crossed the rocks when the girl was choking on a hot dog and fell off the bleachers.
Mm.
No, it was just, that was his chance. Never played again.
That's crazy. Like, that's what also when you understand how many people have played baseball professionally.
Yeah.
Like, the odds are bound that somebody has something like that. And we have that really on the NFL side as well.
Yeah. I mean, but that is like, that's
the,
just
the
wild.
Absolute.
Like, at least let me strike out.
Right? Or catch a pop fly or, you know, touch a ball. Just something.
Yeah. We may have the NFL equivalent, though.
You do. I think so. Tyler Bray, he is up for the most transactions in NFL history.
Go Vols, former Tennessee quarterback.
He's currently one away of T.Y. McGill's 114 transactions.
T.Y. McGill?
Mm-hmm.
They did make a note in that article that the very first listed transaction for T.Y. McGill was a different player. So he is actually at 113.
Oh, so they're both at 113. So
yes.
They are tied. Right. So the next transaction allows Tyler Bray to be the most transacted player of all time. If you're wondering, what's a transaction? It's not just a trade. It's not just signing. Mm-hmm. It's not being released. It's being activated. It's being reactivated or deactivated. It's been put on the practice squad. There are certain things in the NFL that require a league-sanctioned transaction to take place.
Okay, so now, Tyler Bray has not had an accomplished career in the NFL. I don't even know. I cannot even tell you. I know that he played for the Bears, and that's about it. I think he may have even started a game for the Bears.
He has stats with two teams.
Okay.
The Bears are team number two.
Okay.
And the Kansas City Chiefs
are the other one.
Yes.
Okay. So that would be mop-up duty in Kansas City, and then probably starting role in Chicago.
And his stats with the Kansas City Chiefs go as follows.
Okay.
Zero pass completions.
Oh.
One rushing attempt. Zero rush yards. One rushing fumble. One rushing fumble lost. One rushing fumble lost and returned for a defensive touchdown.
And passing for his career, he is 1 for 6 for 18 yards.
In the career?
Yeah.
Look.
High average, though.
This dude, this is why being a backup quarterback is the best job in all of sports. Move over bullpen catcher, because backup quarterback,
Blaine Gabbert,
you're still making more. Bullpen catchers aren't actually on the roster.
No. They're just
like
paid a salary. You're literally like a volunteer that gets paid to just chill in the bullpen.
You're a pack mule.
Yeah.
Who, you got to carry a lot of stuff around. You warm up pitchers. Great gig, don't get me wrong. But you're still getting paid practice squad and active roster money for Tyler Bray, getting bumped up and down as much as he was. You're still making a pretty penny there. A
couple $100,000.
And there is zero pressure.
Not getting hit.
Being the backup quarterback. And people at some point will be like, hey, let's see what this kid has to offer, you know, when things are getting sideways. And the bar is very low. 1 for 8 for 18 yards. And your lone rushing attempt was a fumble returned for a touchdown by the other team.
That's 1 for 6.
That's not that bad.
Yeah. He has appeared in 2 games total his entire career, one in 2017 for the Chiefs and one in 2020 for the Chicago Bears, with a lifetime, with a career of 9 snaps.
Dang. 9 snaps in 113 transactions.
So that means that one game that he played in Chicago, he was in there for 5 snaps and they attempted a pass on each one of those 5 snaps.
I'll tell you what, Tyler Bray, in my opinion, some people may say not a successful career. I think
it's incredibly
this
successful.
Is a wildly successful career. The guy has been in the NFL since 2017. And it's 2024.
He's played 9 snaps.
This dude has gotten actually not like the bag. He's not like Tobias Harris getting paid $26 million a year. But what he's getting is he's getting a comfortable living that Tyler Bray's making here, just bouncing around the NFL. Probably smart as hell, which is why people want to keep him around. And a guy who's a good locker room guy. So you know he's cool to hang out with. I'm all in on Tyler Bray. I want more of Tyler Bray's career, actually. Because this dude, it doesn't take a whole heck of a lot. And in Kansas City, did he get a Super Bowl in Kansas City?
That was 2017? The 2017 season?
No.
I don't think so.
No. So he doesn't have a ring yet. But maybe he was one of his...
Maybe practice squad?
Well, you would, but maybe he was bouncing around and wasn't on the active roster, but he still probably got a Super Bowl ring out of being in Kansas City. Good for Tyler Bray. I think this is a worse day because Tyler Bray just woke up this morning and looked and was like, whoa,
catching strays.
I think it's a great day because you're still around. People are still talking about you, my dude.
Somebody did a great visual of all of like the transaction logs of NFL players with at least 10 career transactions. And it's a bar graph that just kind of goes down and slides down. And then there's like this giant gap at 75. And then there's like 10 total players ever. And then there's like this little blip at 113. It's like, that's me. It's Tyler Bray.
Just down here.
Yeah, that's the thing you show off to people. You want to see what I did?
Yeah.
This is me right here. This little blip.
God bless it.
That little guy right there, don't worry about that little guy.
So he is nowhere to be found right now? Does he have a team?
It looks like he hasn't been on a team since 2020.
Yeah, 2021. It would be the San Francisco 49ers. I think somebody needs to just sign him, cut him.
Career earnings of $4.9 million.
Dude, it's great to be Tyler Bray.
Yeah. So 4.9 million divided by 6 snaps.
Dude, over Chase Daniels. There's a new guy.
No. Nobody surpasses Chase Daniels' greatness.
I don't know. It's 9 total snaps, 6 pass attempts. Yeah. So 9 total snaps. I think he may pass.
No, Chase. Chase has been very upfront about.
Okay, let's guess the career earnings of Chase Daniel.
Oh, it's insane. Chase Daniel is at like,
I want to say like 25, 30.
Yeah, I was going to say 23 million. No. Higher or lower?
Higher. 40? 41.8 million.
Dude, yeah, that's insane. How many snaps is he?
Chase is no
14-year career with 7 different teams.
Chase is a god of getting the bag.
God, that's so good for him.
Tobias Harris is jealous.
Yeah, Tobias Harris is jealous of that. And he's played in 74 games, though.
Yeah. But also, like, he was doing it right.
Yeah, he was. See, backup quarterback.
It's a
great place to be.
He said something about being at Missouri. I think somebody tweeted a picture of they were about to have their Chase Daniel summer, and it was him at Missouri being kind of round faced, and he's like, "Oh, you mean go out and damn near win a Heisman while housing a whole pizza and a case of beer every night?
Yeah.
Good luck on that, bud.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. God. So basically, somebody tried to dunk on him. He was like, yeah, you go ahead and tell me you can do all these things while also living your best life. You can't.
You can't do that.
You can't.
There's no way. There's no way that you could possibly beat that.
Contrary to popular belief, this is the peak male athlete right here.
You're damn right it is. All right. So I'm looking at Chase Daniel. He attempted in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
273
passes. he attempted 273.
Obviously, the dollar per pass ratio is going to go side with Bray, but
I think, yeah, see,
but the scaling of Daniel, though,
68.1% completion percentage,
not too bad.
Oh, he's a solid backup quarterback.
9 touchdowns, 7 picks,
and your quarterback,
huh?
Like, chicks dig quarterbacks,
yeah.
Like, if Chase Daniel,
and he was never a threat
to a smoking hot, like, supermodel.
Oh, yeah. And he's never a threat to be the actual starter.
And it looks like about 570 more career snaps than Tyler Bray.
570?
Yeah, 579 total.
It's good to be both those guys. Again, we should have been professional athletes, guys.
Yeah. Boy, did I miss my calling.
You sure did.
Why didn't I listen?
I think you would have been a great quarterback.
Yes.
Rust.
Third string.
Yeah. Coach would have put me in. We went on state.
Yeah. Bet you I can throw his ball over the mountains over there.
It's a good place to be. All right, coming up next, you were gone when the Portland Trailblazers made the surprise transactional trade.
Mm.
You were golfing for Denny Avdia. We'll talk about that and more coming up here next year on Danny and Dusty, Denny the Fan. Well, last week, the Portland Trailblazers were busy. I've seen some people say, oh, the Blazers are having a quiet offseason. I don't know, man. Trading for Denny Avdia when nobody saw that coming and drafting Donovan Clingan, somebody most people had as like the either the best or second best player on the draft, I'd say that's pretty active. What's been your general takeaway of that transaction period for the Blazers?
Yeah, it was like right when we got off the air, right? There was starting to be a little bit of rumblings about the Portland Trailblazers in the first round got going, and it was the Denny Avdia trade came through for the 14th pick and then a future first. There was a lot of negative reaction from fans, and it's always interesting to see the fan reaction as opposed to the reaction of people that either cover the NBA or cover a team specifically. And the fan reaction was, oh my God, who the hell is this? Why are you giving up 2 first round picks for it? And there was a lot of correlation being made to, so this is the Dame trade at this point, right? Mm-hmm. You saw a lot of that. I look at Denny Avdia, and you look at the reaction from the Washington Wizards fans. You look at the members of the media that covered Washington. They're like, oh, God. Like, that was one of our bright spots.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at a guy who has length, who can bounce between the 3 and the 4, who had his best career shooting from 3. He is a physical defender, and you talked about this earlier, the physicality of him. That was the thing that I was unfamiliar with. And then you just started looking at the rave reviews from people who covered the NBA and have covered the Washington Wizards and are sitting there going, no, he is actually coming into form. He's on a de-escalating contract, which is almost unheard of in the NBA mm-hmm. for a young player with a tremendous upside.
It's the same kind of deal that Wendell Carter had. He'll obviously get a different deal going forward.
And everybody's like, well, you should have gotten Dalton Knecht for him. He's younger than Dalton Knecht. Like, they're technically the same age, but it's like he's a couple months younger.
He's a couple months older.
Or older. Older.
Somebody had that earlier, and I transposed the 2 dates. But yeah, they're 3 months apart.
Okay. And this is a guy who's played in the NBA.
And been productive already. You don't have questions
and
about.
And is coming off of his best year where it was the year he played the most in the in the NBA. It was the first time that he got a bulk of starter minutes. He averaged, what, 30 minutes a game
mm-hmm.
and shot 37.8% from 3.
Yeah, he was 14-7-3 on 50-37-74 splits.
That, to me, is like, this is exactly what Portland should be doing. And they're like, but you gave up one of the picks you got in the Dame trade. There's 3 of them in that first round. Okay? And it's not your top pick. Yeah. It's the middle of your 3 picks. I think that, you know, and of course, hindsight, people are going to go back, and if it doesn't work out and the Blazers, they'll tear it apart.
With Paul George trade,
but right now, you got an upgrade over anything that you were going to get at 14.
And you got an upgrade over anything you were going to get at 7. Like, I wanted them to take Cody Williams. Like, we talked about that going into that draft. I'm like, take the swing on the wing. That's what I wanted.
And
they instead, they went and got a wing that they aren't necessarily taking a swing on. There's more upside, I think, with Denny. I've talked to the Blazers front office, and I've talked to other front offices about Denny, and damn near universally, like, yeah, we all think there's There's more to go. The question is the shooting for real? Because what happened last year, the reason his three-point percentage went up is because he shot the living hell out of the ball from the corners.
Yeah.
Shot 48% from the corners. There's going to be a drop back there. But I think that there's going to be probably some uptick in the above-the-break three-point percentage. The big thing for me is they got bigger, stronger, longer, got a little nastier, but they got the thing that you and I have talked about ad nauseum, the rarest commodity in the entire NBA is playmaking with size. Denny Avdia is playmaking with size. And he's like, oh, it's only 3.5 assists. I'm like, watch the guy play. He can actually attack the rim, bring rim pressure, create off the bounce on a live dribble, and find a pass. That is a real skill.
And when you're looking for guys, that was the biggest component that Blazers, and this isn't to say like the results won't be immediate this year either, right? Because we know the direction of Portland right now. But how many times do we see Scoot come downhill last year, try to kick the ball out, and nothing was done with it, right? We saw that a lot last year. You're getting a guy that you can kick the ball out to, and he can be a playmaker, whether it's corner threes, and hopefully that shooting translates, or a guy that can take it off the dribble and create a little bit more space for everybody else. I'm okay. I was totally fine with it. And I also will go back to, you want a front office that has, that'll put them on the table, and they have faith in their process, right? Mike Schmitz, when he was drafted, when Denny Avdia was drafted, he tweeted out, as he was an employee for ESPN at the time, steal of the draft at 9.
And he went further in depth. He said at some point in time, he thought that he had the potential to be the best player in that draft. And that is a draft that featured Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton, Tyrese Maxey.
Now, that has not come to fruition.
No.
But
it shows you how highly they think of him as a prospect, and he's still a prospect because he's 23.
I am okay with this team making risks, with putting him on the table and gunning for something down the road, because that was something that was sorely missed during the prime of Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a reluctance to go down that road. And is there risk involved? Absolutely there is. Absolutely there is. But I will go back to, look at what we saw last year, right? Wins and loss wise. are we going, they're trying to take a swing to improve this team in 2025, right? That's what the main goal is. Use this year to develop some of your younger pieces, get familiarity with guys like Advia and Klingon who are coming in.
Mm-hmm. Bottom then, out, and hope you get one of those top three guys.
And then you can move forward with a young core that you have for multiple years too, which is, I don't see that as a bad thing, but there's a lot of people with really adverse reactions to it. I was okay with, I'm not like over the moon with it. I'm not like, yeah, this is going to be the piece, because there's so many pieces away. But in a draft where I think everybody, it's so, when we predicted this months ago, in a draft that was considered one of the weakest in recent memory, okay, the Blazers had 2 first round picks, and all of a sudden there's a facet of the fan base that wanted to be like, no, we could have gotten something better at 14. No, you actually have a known. And the known is that there's people in Washington that are going, man, that this one kind of hurts, because we started to see an uptick in his production that we were all hoping for. And now he's gone. But Washington is in a place where they're down to the studs, too. And they wanted more draft capital. And they got it. I'm all right with all of it.
I like where they ended up with this. So
you called it A+ right when it happened. And
I made my feelings known.
Yeah.
Avdija is a guy that I really like and have liked, and I did not think he would be available at that price.
Yeah.
What I have heard back is that people were surprised that, number one, he was available. Then that, as much as people like, oh, is it overpay? Most people said that they thought it would cost more than that to get him.
Yeah.
So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. And I'm glad that as more information is coming out, it seems like the fan base is calming down a little bit about the trade. And I think Portland fans are going to love him when he comes and he starts playing basketball here, because that's what Blazer fans do, right? You irrationally fall in love with a guy, and this will be another case of that. It's going to be fun.
Come on. He hasn't even put on a jersey yet, and he's already a Portland legend.
That's right. That's how we'll do.
All right, coming up next, we will reset with NBA free agency in day number two. The will they, won't they, the ramifications of moves, and how the trickle-down effect can help or aid Portland as they move into the next step of their rebuild here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Well, last week, the Portland Trailblazers were busy. I've seen some people say, oh, the Blazers are having a quiet offseason. I don't know, man. Trading for Denny Avdia when nobody saw that coming, and drafting Donovan Clingan, somebody who most people had as like either the best or second best player on the draft, I'd say that's pretty active. What's been your general takeaway of that transaction period for the Blazers?
Yeah, it was like right when we got off the air, right? There was starting to be a little bit of rumblings about the Portland Trailblazers in the first round got going, and it was the Denny Avdia trade came through for the 14th pick and then a future first. There was a lot of negative reaction from fans, and it's always interesting to see the fan reaction as opposed to the reaction of people that either cover the NBA or cover a team specifically. And the fan reaction was, oh my God, who the hell is this? Why are you giving up two first round picks for it? And there was a lot of correlation being made to, so this is the Dame trade at this point, right? Mm-hmm. You saw a lot of that. I look at Denny Avdia, and you look at the reaction from the Washington Wizards fans. You look at the members of the media that covered Washington. They're like, oh, God. Like, that was one of our bright spots.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at a guy who has length, who can bounce between the three and the four, who had his best career shooting from three. He is a physical defender, and you talked about this earlier, the physicality of him. That was the thing that I was unfamiliar with. And then you just started looking at the rave reviews from people who covered the NBA and have covered the Washington Wizards and are sitting there going, no, he is actually coming into form. He's on a de-escalating contract, which is almost unheard of in the NBA mm-hmm. for a young player with a tremendous upside.
Same kind of deal that Wendell Carter had. He'll obviously get a different deal going forward.
And everybody's like, wow, you should have gotten Dalton Knecht for him. He's younger than Dalton Knecht. Like, they're technically the same age, but it's like he's a couple months younger.
He's a couple months older.
Or older. Older.
Somebody had that earlier, and I transposed the two dates. But yeah, they're 3 months apart.
Okay. And this is a guy who's played in the NBA.
And been productive already. You don't have questions
and
about.
And is coming off of his best year where it was the year he played the most in the in the NBA. It was the first time that he got a bulk of starter minutes. He averaged, 30 minutes a game
mm-hmm.
and shot 37.8% from three.
Yeah, he was 14-7-3 on 50-37-74 splits.
That, to me, is like, this is exactly what Portland should be doing. And they're like, but you gave up one of the picks you got in the Dame trade. There's three of them in that first round. Okay? And it's not your top pick. Yeah. It's the middle of your three picks. I think that, you know, and of course, hindsight, people are going to go back, and if it doesn't work out and the Blazers, they'll tear it apart.
With Paul George trade,
but right now, you got an upgrade over anything that you were going to get at 14.
And you got an upgrade over anything you were going to get at 7. Like, I wanted them to take Cody Williams. Like, we talked about that going into that draft. I'm like, take the swing on the wing. That's what I wanted.
And
they instead, they went and got a wing that they aren't necessarily taking a swing on. There's more upside, I think, with Denny. I've talked to the Blazers front office, and I've talked to other front offices about Denny. And damn near universally, like, yeah, we all think there's more to go. The question is the shooting for real? Because what happened last year, the reason his three-point percentage went up is because he shot the living hell out of the ball from the corners.
Yeah.
Shot 48% from the corners. There's going to be a drop back there. But I think that there's going to be probably some uptick in the above-the-break three-point percentage. The big thing for me is they got bigger, stronger, longer, got a little nastier, but they got the thing that you and I have talked about ad nauseum, the rarest commodity in the entire NBA is playmaking with size. Denny Avdia is playmaking with size. It was like, oh, it's only 3.5 assists. I'm like, watch the guy play. He can actually attack the rim, bring rim pressure, create off the bounce on a live dribble, and find a pass. That is a real skill.
And when you're looking for guys, that was the biggest component that the Blazers, and this isn't to say, like, the results won't be immediate this year either, right? Because we know the direction of Portland right now. But how many times do we see Scoot come downhill last year, tried to kick the ball out, and nothing was done with it, right? We saw that a lot last year. You're getting a guy that you can kick the ball out to, and he can be a playmaker, whether it's corner threes, and hopefully that shooting translates, or a guy that can take it off the dribble and create a little bit more space for everybody else. I'm okay. I was totally fine with it. And I also will go back to, you want a front office that has, that'll put them on the table, and they have faith in their process, right? Mike Schmitz, when he was drafted, when Denny Avdia was drafted, he tweeted out, as he was an employee for ESPN at the time, steal of the draft at nine.
And he went further in depth. He said at some point in time, he thought that he had the potential to be the best player in that draft. And that is a draft that featured Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Haliburton, Tyrese Maxey.
Now, that has not come to fruition.
No.
But
it shows you how highly they think of him as a prospect. And he's still a prospect because he's 23.
I am okay with this team making risks with putting them on the table and in gunning for something down the road, because that was something that was sorely missed during the prime of Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a reluctance to go down that road. And is there risk involved? Absolutely there is. Absolutely there is. But I will go back to, look at what we saw last year, right? Wins and loss wise. Are we going, they're trying to take a swing to improve this team in 2025, right? That's what the main goal is. Use this year to develop some of your younger pieces, get familiarity with guys like Advia and Klingon who are coming in.
Mm-hmm. Bottom out and hope you get one of those top three guys.
And then you can move forward with a young core that you have for multiple years too, which is, I don't see that as a bad thing, but there's a lot of people with really adverse reactions to it. I was okay with, I'm not like over the moon with it. I'm not like, yeah, this is going to be the piece, because there's so many pieces away. Yeah.
No.
But in a draft where I think everybody, it's so, when we predicted this months ago, in a draft that was considered one of the weakest in recent memory, okay,
they,
the Blazers had two first round picks. And all of a sudden, there's a facet of the fan base that wanted to be like, no, we could have gotten something better at 14. No, you actually have a known. And the known is that there's people in Washington that are going, man, this one kind of hurts, because we started to see an uptick in his production that we were all hoping for. And now he's gone. But Washington is in a place where they're down to the studs, too. And they wanted more draft capital, and they got it. I'm all right with all of it.
I like where they ended up with this. So
you call it A+ right when it happened, and
I made my feelings known.
Yeah,
Avdija is a guy that I really like and have liked, and I did not think he would be available at that price.
Yeah,
what I have heard back is that people were surprised that, number one, he was available. Then that, as much as people like, oh, is it overpay? Most people said that they thought it would cost more than that to get him.
Yeah.
So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. And I'm glad that as more information is coming out, it seems like the fan base is calming down a little bit about the trade. And I think Portland fans are going to love him when he comes and he starts playing basketball here. Because that's what Blazer fans do, right? You irrationally fall in love with a guy, and this will be another case of that. It's going to be fun.
Come on. He hasn't even put on a jersey yet, and he's already a Portland legend.
That's right. That's how we'll do.
All right, coming up next, we will reset with NBA free agency in day number two. The will they, won't they, and the ramifications of moves, and how the trickle-down effect can help or aid Portland as they move into the next step of their rebuild. Here on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.